No hate, no hype, no fear.
You're listening to Truth Frequency Radio.
We are TFR.
Being in the zone. It's called, you know, being lucky. It's called having everything go your way.
When you deal with computers, you deal with ones and zeros. And the only way that you can make a computer more powerful is to expand the consciousness of the computer.
You know, just kind of your ego being swept aside or being swatted like a fly.
And guess what, guys?
Here we are. Rebooting the truth.
You can't handle the truth!
Hong Kong. Connected. Moscow. Connected. Athens. Connected. Paris. Connected. London. Connected. New York. Connected. Los Angeles. Connected. Denver. Connected. Uplink complete. Initiating the truth frequency.
Broadcasting worldwide from an undisclosed location high up on the Rocky Mountains, this is Truth Frequency Radio. And now, here are your hosts, Chris and Cherie Geo.
From the Lake of Diamonds in the Pacific Northwest, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm Chris Geo. You are tapped into the Truth Frequency this May 15, 2015. Got a jam-packed show for you coming up. I'm joined, of course, by my lovely wife and co-host, Cherie.
Good evening, everyone.
We have Ole Damigrand coming up in the second and third hour. We're going to talk about false flags. This particular show, I want to keep it a little more grounded because as I'm watching the news feeds coming in, I'm noticing that there is a serious, serious problem with the police state in 2015. And so I need to take a big step back, address that for just a few moments. And in case you're not keeping up to par with what's going on, or if it's not apparent to you, as apparent to you as it is to me, we need to always remember that we are facing a battle, not only on the spiritual and energetic planes, but also on the physical realm as well, which I believe is just a symptom of what's going on the spiritual plane. We've got to address that, but ultimately, we have to address the physical too. I mean, it's getting into realms of absolute ridiculousness. I'll share a personal story with you. I was sighted by the Wildlife Patrol. Cherie and I both were. For fishing without a license. I was fishing without a license, and we were fishing out of season. What they did is they opened the lake a couple of days early, let a bunch of boats in there without any sign or indication that the lake was closed or fishing season was closed, and they started giving people citations. Now, I just kind of laughed when I realized that I was getting a citation, but come to find out, I have become Washington's number one most wanted criminal. They wanted to give me 90 days in jail per citation. These citations are actually misdemeanor criminal citations, punishable up to 90 days in jail. Now, we've been fighting this battle over the last few weeks. I didn't want to say anything until we had a firm outcome. They've all been dismissed. So we don't have to worry about that. But the situation was just so bizarre that we were just fishing and just sitting on the boat and just fishing. And then all of a sudden, this big militarized jackboot thug comes running out to the dock fully armed. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was crazy. Hey, get over here. Get over here. The lake is closed, blah, blah. And just starts going off. And I'm like, okay, there's no indication, and look, there's a bunch of other boats fishing, and you guys open the lake. And he goes, well, you know, we just opened it just because. And I said, well, you can't open the lake and then tell people that the lake is closed. The closed gate is a clear indication that the lake is closed. So, it was quite interesting. I was really concerned most about Cherie's case. Aww. Because, you know, putting myself in jeopardy is one thing. Putting Cherie in jeopardy is something completely different. But luckily, we were able to get everything dismissed without a problem, and Cherie's was dismissed as well. And so we don't have that threat anymore. But just the whole idea of 90 days in jail for fishing just goes to show what kind of police state that we're living in. Now, I did tell the jackboot thug at the end, I said, you know, you do realize what's happening to America right now. your people came over here and slaughtered all of my people, and now you're here trying to fine me for using the land that belongs to not only my people, but to all of us. This is why America is dying, because it was created from this greed type of mentality, and now it's destroying itself from the inside because of this exact same kind of mentality that the country was founded upon. So everybody who sees America just slowly dying, well, that's the reason. It was created out of war and chaos and genocide, and so it's ending in war, chaos, and genocide, and it's war, chaos, and genocide on its own people. 6 days in jail for Skittles. An eighth grader was arrested, threatened with beatings, and held for 6 days in jail for throwing Skittles on the bus. This is what has become of the United States of America. Now, I've been watching videos of people stepping all over the flag, and it really doesn't bother me one bit. I'm not going to go step on the flag, but I do understand what the flag represents. It represents corruption, tyranny. It represents the boot stomping on a human face forever. That's what this flag has become. And then others are jumping up and saying, well, my father fought for this country in Vietnam, so I'm a patriot. Well, no. First of all, a patriot is somebody who stands up against the tyranny. You know, if your government has been usurped and it's become destructive to the means of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, then it is your right. And not only is it your right, but it is your duty. The Declaration of Independence makes it your duty to stand up and throw off such government and install new guards for your security. And so people don't understand patriotism. Now, they see somebody stepping on the flag and they get pissed off, but they see jackboot thugs locking eighth grade kids up in jail for 6 days, and they just, it's perfectly fine. God bless the USA. This is completely backwards. So it's really important to remember what a true patriot is. And I feel that I am a true patriot because I will stand up and against a tyrannical government like we're seeing now in this day and age. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. I was just watching another video of a man who was taken to a secret prison in Chicago on a drug charge. He wasn't even charged, but he was kept there for several hours. The cops actually took a baton and sodomized him with it when he refused to cooperate, and they were beating him to a point to where he couldn't really talk, he couldn't do anything, and they kept telling him, shut up, while he was gasping for air. And, you know, the typical behavior that we see now. They finally let him go, no charges, nothing like that. And as secret prisons in the United States. So if that doesn't get you upset, but watching somebody step on the flag or burning a flag gets you upset, you're part of the problem. You are the problem, as a matter of fact, because you're the reason why this country has become what it's become now. Texas landowners paid to give up property for troop training. Defiant ranchers refuse to surrender home. Down in Texas, people are refusing to give their homes up for Jade Helm, and of course they're getting a little bit of backlash as a result. The Constitution clearly states that no soldiers will be housed in or will be quartered in people's homes, period. And so we're seeing this voluntary slavery and voluntary servitude. They're expecting people to give up their rights. And when they don't voluntarily give up their rights, well, then they face the full brunt of the police force in one way or another, just like that guy in the secret prison was anally sodomized, anally raped because he refused to cooperate with the police and act as an informant. I mean, it's getting really, really, really bad. Texas veteran in prison for 35 days for refusing to surrender his Facebook password. Texas entrepreneur and U.S. Army veteran Jeremy Alcide has been imprisoned for 35 days and counting over his refusal to turn over his Facebook account password as part of his bankruptcy. As part of a business bankruptcy court order, federal bankruptcy judge Jeff Boehm of the Southern District of Texas ordered Alcide thrown in jail for an indefinite period of time until he surrendered his Facebook account password, potentially creating a dangerous precedent that threatens the privacy and control of all social media accounts. We're living in a high-tech police state right now. We're going to expose this in the second and third hour, but let's go off into some woo material. We've got Chris Cowan joining us here in just a few minutes, and we're going to talk about UFOs for just a little bit, so we'll take a break on that note.
principles of lust are burned in your mind. Do what you want. Do it until you find love.
From 8,500 feet off the peaks of the Rocky Mountains, this is Truth Frequency Radio with Chris and Cherie Geo. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
As many of our regular listeners know, we've been following the extraterrestrial, or at least unidentified object phenomenon, for years here on the broadcast. We've interviewed a lot of very, very great minds, people of high caliber in society, presidential advisors, heads of state, attorneys, doctors, you name it. People of high, high, high intelligence who all share extraterrestrial experiences in one form or another, or have chosen to research into the field of extraterrestrials or unidentified flying objects. Let's just leave it at that. Unidentified flying objects. We don't have any 100% proof that what we're seeing in the sky is necessarily extraterrestrial, but extraterrestrial in its truest sense means not of this world. And so therefore, whether you want to call them aliens or demons or angels or whatever, they're still extraterrestrials, they're still not of this world. So there is a phenomenon that many different people are reporting upon. One of my dear friends, Christopher Cowan, who is out in Philadelphia, has been documenting a phenomenon that's happening pretty much on a daily basis. Now, last time we spoke to Chris, we spoke to him as there was a large forest fire taking place up in the mountains where he's been documenting all of these UFOs for the past year, year and a half. And we were getting reports of what appear to be giants walking around on the mountaintop. Now, of course, the vantage point was from a mile away, a mile and a half away, so it was hard to tell exactly what was taking place. But Chris actually went up to the area in the mountain where a lot of this fire was happening, or supposedly happening, and saw some things that were anomalous. Didn't actually make any contact with any extraterrestrials or anything like that, but did document some anomalies at the very least. So I don't know what's going on, but there are other ufologists and researchers who have taken notice as to what's happening on this particular mountain in Philadelphia. And they've gone up there to research this phenomenon themselves. And so we've got Chris on with us for the next hour, and he will be updating us on everything that's been going on there. He's got a ton of footage, and I'm looking forward to when he puts it all together, puts it up on his YouTube channel as well. Chris, how are you doing, sir?
Good. How you doing, brother? Good to be back.
Good, good, good. Great to have you. You gave us a bit of a scare last time, but luckily we spoke to you a couple of hours after the incident, and you are okay. You're alive and well. Everything is good. Do you want to give us a recap of what happened last time?
Sure. Probably wasn't the brightest thing to do, but yeah, we went up to the top of the mountain that night. Actually, I'm not in Philadelphia per se. I'm about, about 80... I want to say 70 miles from Philadelphia, 70 miles northwest of Philadelphia in the Pocono Mountains. So, yeah, there really aren't many mountains around Philadelphia. You have to head out to about west and north. You have to head north, and it's about level with in terms of longitude with Philadelphia. But in any case, I've been observing some strange anomalies on the mountain. It's actually behind our farm here, and I've always had an interest in UFOs and things of that nature and stuff. So I started looking into it, and I purchased a fairly powerful telescope. It's a 10-inch Dobsonian, and some good camera equipment finally. So I've been observing these strange lights. I posted one on YouTube. I think you posted one of them too. That was probably the first thing that we saw. We're calling that really heightened brain, because it appeared to have the shape and a few of the aspects that a human brain has.
Well, let me clear that up for the listeners. When we say the Lahaitan brain, what it looked like in the video is a plasma type beam in the sky that looked to make the shape of a brain. Now, we're not saying that it had anything to do with a brain. That's just the shape that's closely described.
It's just a label. We have no idea what the heck this thing is. When you don't know, you just give it a label so you can work with it when you're discussing it. But in any case, all kinds of different craft up here. Some of them are definitely helicopters. Some of them are definitely drones. Some of them are definitely not helicopters and drones, because I have a bird's eye view right here of the mountain, and it's about 2 miles away. And like I said, I have a very powerful telescope, and I can see if a craft has any sort of structure. I can identify an airplane very easily. I can identify a helicopter very easily. I can see drones. They're unlit. Many of these craft are just, I hesitate to even call them a craft, because I don't know if it's a craft or if it's a sentient being. I have no idea, but they definitely seem to have, intention. You know, they move attention. They seem to be intelligently controlled, and they seem to react to the people that are watching them. And I've had many people over here. It's not just me sitting up here in the mountain, you know, with my word to go on. I have probably, you know, between 10 and 20 witnesses who've all been up here and seen this. It's on a regular basis. It's almost mundane at this point. That night, when there was a forest fire, it was limited to just the scope of view that I have of the mountain. It was incredible. It's exactly the area where we filmed the quote-unquote Lahaitan brain. And the fire in the it's very wet here. There's never any forest fires, never. And certainly not this time of year. Very wet. The ground was wet. There was rain and plenty of fog and some mist for days before this happened. I don't think I could light a fire up there if I wanted to, you know. And there was like three different points where the fire started. They were about three miles apart from each other. And that didn't make any sense. It was just fire, 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 and then a bunch of dead space in between. It was almost like they were cordoning off the area with fire. I think whoever did it had an idea that it wouldn't get out of control because it was so wet. Some days we started videotaping, and there was all kinds of anomalous craft in the sky, all kinds of luminous things that you couldn't really see any structure on. Since then, I've actually been able to pull some structure out of a couple of the shots, playing with it in Photoshop, you know, playing with the color temperature and the contrast and the brightness and whatnot, and was able to some of the. I got to plug my phone here, man. I'm about to lose the battery. Hold on a second.
It is very, very strange what's going on up there, for sure. As a matter of fact, I just checked Expedia and a couple of other websites for plane tickets out there, because after hearing about this, I've got to get out there and spend a couple of days and view a lot of this for myself. Because you can only see so much in video, but when you see it in person, that's when you can really make a judgment on what exactly is going on.
Yeah, and Chris, the video is half the quality of what you see with the human eye, and the detail just isn't there. And like, for instance, that shot of Lahaitan brain, I mean, it was really actually beautiful to look at. You know, I mean, it was like it was really kind of dazzling, and it almost seemed like it was intentionally so. You know what I mean?
It reminded me of that spiral, the Norway spiral that was overhead a few years ago, and it looked like they were opening some kind of wormhole or teleportation or something like that. And when you film this brain, it looked like the same type of technology. Now, it didn't look like the Norway spiral, but it gave me the same feeling, like this is some kind of wormhole or portal that's being opened right there over this mountain, where consequently, there is reputed to have an underground bunker right there, a military underground bunker. Are we working with extraterrestrials? Paul Hellyer, former head of state of Canada, would say so. We'll be right back. I want to take a moment to say thank you to Sunny over at KLID 1340 AM. They're picking up the broadcast now, so thank you for adding us to your list. And thank you to all the affiliates that are carrying the show here on the Genesis Communications Network. And, of course, everybody tuning in at truthfrequencyradio.com as well. We've got Chris Cowan on the line with us talking about this phenomenon that's taking place 70 miles outside of Philadelphia, not quite in Philadelphia, but right outside, and one that I'm very interested in going up to investigate myself. Now, Chris, you were telling me that you were speaking to somebody at a local bar or cafe down there, and you happened to bring up the idea that of the forest fire. What was their reply to you when you brought up the forest fire?
Oh, right. It's an interesting anecdote. I kind of like stopped talking about the UFO thing because everyone's looking at me like I'm crazy, of course. And so we were just kind of talking, just an everyday conversation at the bar about the forest fire that was back here, how unusual it was. And somebody piped up and said, yeah, I heard that was to cover up a UFO crash or something. And I was like, I just almost spit my beer out. I was like... And but apparently the word is spreading, and there's people that are starting to watch.
You know, there are a lot of people out there in the know. There's been this phenomenon. As a matter of fact, Frank Castle is one that recognized this. We were down in Denver, and I talked about the idea that they're messing with the timeline with CERN. And I notice different places that are starting to change. Buildings are starting to pop up out of nowhere. Frank came down and he noticed that when he was looking for a hotel in our area, there were none at all, period. And his wife is a travel agent. And I was telling him, these hotels popped up here overnight, literally overnight, right next door to this Denny's. And we went and ate at this Denny's, and Frank starts talking to the waitress. And the waitress said, you know, those hotels just popped up overnight. It was the strangest thing in the world. And we're just looking at her like, oh, you noticed that too. So it's funny because we kind of share the same type of experience where just random people are starting to be aware of what's going on. Nobody's buying into the deception anymore.
Well, here's the thing, Chris. Things are changing. The world is not the same as it was 10 years ago, and the sky is not the same as it was 10 years ago. I don't know why. I don't know if these things are UFOs. I mean, I don't say UFOs. I don't know if these things are aliens. This could be 100% military aircraft. However, I doubt that that's the case, but you know, we've all heard that, you know, the rumors that the military is in cahoots with aliens, supposedly, but who knows, man. Last night I was out, and we had the night before last, and we had probably the most activity that I've ever seen here. I have plenty of footage of it, better footage this time, and I'm still going over, like, hundreds of shots, because I just went crazy taking shots, and, you know, I have a life, too. I have kids and family, and it's, you know, it's hard to just spend 24 hours on this stuff, going through stuff, but I think I dug up some stuff from the mountain last night that I didn't think that I got, and, that remains to be seen. I gotta throw that in photo, or Adobe Premiere, and start pulling the frames out and doing some analysis. But very, very interesting footage. I have footage from the night before last, that's pretty incredible. And I don't know what to make of it. Once again, it's these objects appear to be. These objects appear to be. They look like planets to me. And, you know, because you can see they all are reflecting the same light source from the sun, you know, where we can't see beneath the horizon, just like the moon would, and it's from the same angle. And they just have the appearance of planets, but there's so many of them, it's impossible for them to be planets.
Well, let me give you my analysis on what's going on. And I don't know if you've looked into this phenomenon recently, but there is a revolution happening right now. And it's a consciousness revolution, in my opinion. But the idea that the Earth is not a globe and the Earth is actually a flat, enclosed dome where we're kept here like a nature preserve or even a prison planet, or maybe it's the construct of the Matrix, but this place that we live in is not a planet in the traditional sense. It's more of an artificial construct, and we've been placed here like ants in an ant farm. But Mark Sargent, who is one of our newest hosts here on Truth Frequency, we we interviewed him a few weeks ago, or actually a few months ago now. Mm-hmm. We were one of the first, and then right after us, Clyde Lewis picked up on it. Now I talked to George, and George is having him on. George Norrie's having Mark Sargent on here in the next couple of weeks.
Wow.
I know, I know. And so I thought, I was a little skeptical and hesitant to talk about this whole idea of a flat earth and all of this. But once I started talking about it, I realized that so many people are picking up on it because they're starting to see what exactly is going on. And so I'm wondering if all of these extraterrestrials are really like the zookeepers that are coming down here because they're realizing that the whole construct is being threatened because the mice, the lab rats, are starting to realize that they're part of an experiment.
Sure. Well, that reminds me, I don't know if you remember back in the day, remember that movie Logan's Run, where they had a society under a dome, and everybody only lived to be, I think, 30 years old, and then they liberated you by killing you.
Yes, you go to Carousel.
You remember that. So that reminds me a little bit of that. But here's the thing, man. I think you should be able to discuss anything. I think what we have to do is, the most important thing is to be able to discuss any subject, no matter how outrageous it is. Because, you know, sometimes things are made to be outrageous. And you know, sometimes the powers that be will take a concept and make it and mix it with absurdities. You know, they'll mix it with the Easter Bunny and with you know, whatever else they can do to kind of delineate it in your mind.
Well, the only people that are debunking the flat Earth are debunking talking points that are clearly disinformation. Like Mark, for instance, he brings a lot of really good points, like NASA's lied to us, there's no picture of the Earth, several other factors like that. But then there's another group of people perpetrating a flat Earth theory that has so many holes in the story and so many debunkable elements to it that this is what the debunkers cling on to and say, oh, look, you're wrong because of this and this and this. So there's actually an effort out there, in my opinion, to put out a bunch of disinformation to do exactly as you said.
Well, it was like guys like Jim Fetzer. Remember Jim Fetzer back in the day?
I do.
Well, he's still around. He's still around, you know. And he was putting out that, you know, these particle beams from the moon took out the towers on 9/11. And he was so passionate about it. And he's a fairly eloquent speaker. He's an intelligent guy. And he can rope in kind of the stragglers out there, you know, who are willing to grab onto any concept. And then he presents it, then they put him on television among all the researchers out there, 9/11. You see, there he goes, boom, he's on ABC or NBC, on any of the major networks, where anybody else who can make a real argument is shunned, you know. So this is how they do it. I mean, it's well known. This is, you know, we know there's disinformation operatives out there that will try to tie, you know, they feed the information to their debunkers, and their debunkers make it the central issue, you know?
Right, exactly. And they take the weakest points. It's called creating a straw man. They take the weakest points, a lot of them which are meant to be debunked, so you can debunk those and say that you've debunked everything, period, while never addressing any of the real issues. We'll be right back. I was speaking to Mark Sargent off air, and I said, Mark, if your conclusions and analysis about a flat earth are correct, and we do live in a dome structure, an artificial structure, which is something that my intuition has just jumped on and said, this is true, I feel it within myself, and most people that I speak to as well feel the same way, especially when they start to look into it, they dive right into it and go, man, I can't disprove this stuff. But I told Mark, I said, if this is true, then a lot of the stuff that we talk about ancient aliens, extraterrestrials, UFOs, pretty much all of this, we have to throw out the window because this completely debunks, well, not debunks, deproves, disproves, or invalidates. That's the word I'm looking for. It invalidates all the other information that we talked about when we talk about extraterrestrials and a globe Earth and all of this stuff. And Mark came back with a very good answer. He said it doesn't invalidate it. What it does is it brings a new perspective to the table. And when he said that, I said, you know what? That's spot on. And so starting to look at things like Anunnaki, rather than being visitors from another planet or something like that, maybe they were the ones that created the dome around us. Maybe they were the ones that took us from our planet, which maybe we did live on a planet at one point in time, and then put us in an artificial construct, like taking a fish out of the ocean and putting it into a fish tank. And then that fish dies off, but it has babies, and those babies die off, and they have babies, and then you have several generations down the line, and they think they're in the ocean, but they're really not in the ocean. But I think it all ties in together, because right now, we're experiencing a consciousness shift. And some of us are starting to see, and I'm speaking metaphorically here, but some of us are starting to see in color. And we're trying to tell the people seeing in black and white, hey, that's red, that's green, look, can't you see the color? And the people still seeing in black and white are going, no, I don't see any color. You're crazy, you're an idiot, you're this and that, because you're claiming to see this color, this red here, or this blue, when the rest of us are just seeing still in black and white. But I think that goes to the idea of being able to see the time shifts when they mess with the timelines and realizing or remembering that some buildings didn't used to be there and they popped up overnight, or some buildings disappeared and the geographical area has changed, and you remember that because you're starting to see metaphorically again in color as opposed to seeing in black and white. Same with the Earth. We're realizing it's not a globe. It's not a dome it's not a globe spinning around. It's more like a dome. And some of us are going, hey, look, there's that the Earth actually has color. And people are, no, it's black and white. They've told us it's black and white from the very beginning. It must be black and white. So it really brings a completely new perspective to the table. Anyways, I don't mean to go too far off, Chris, but take us away anywhere you'd like, or if you'd like to comment, if you've taken a look at any of this flat Earth material that's going out there, the good material anyways, any thoughts on it?
Well, I think anything's possible. I think that that so many of us, when we kind of found out that 9/11 was BS, that at least the official story that they're giving us is full of holes, and it's obviously been manipulated either in as a whole or in parts to deceive us and to get an agenda going. And so, and then once we saw that, it kind of opened up everything. And you realize, wow, if they can pull off something that big, they can do anything. You know, and it's almost like the more outrageous the scheme is, the more people seem to be willing to believe it. And you know, because it's so outrageous that there's no possibility that that could be faked. And the funny thing is that I can just see like an alien invasion coming, and we're going to be the only ones going, no, it's the government. It's not really aliens.
Well, see, the flip side of the coin is what a couple of my friends have brought up. Joe Joseph, for instance, he said, Chris, this flat Earth thing could very well be an operation to get people to start going down the line of a flat Earth scenario. And then so mainstream media, for instance, can go, look how stupid these people are. These people
exactly
talk about 9/11 truth.
Well,
they think the Earth is flat. Now,
yeah,
it doesn't necessarily... Yeah, it doesn't necessarily make it not so, but, you know, it could be part of the agenda. It very well could. So I'm not discounting that one bit.
What I would do is stop talking about it as the flat Earth, because it doesn't necessarily – the point of it being flat, I don't think that's important. I don't think the shape is so much important, but it will leave you wide open to criticism. You understand? I think the idea that it's possible that part of the planet is cordoned off – and that we are just being, you know, we're told that we inhabit the entire planet, but that there's a large portion of it that is, that we have no access to. I mean, they shut off the polar, you know, the polar access to the polar orbiters for some reason.
The Antarctic Treaty. You can't go to Antarctica. And right after World War II, all the nations of the world signed the Antarctic Treaty, stating that until the year 2047, which is when it goes into effect, it was a 100-year treaty, that nobody can go to Antarctica without government permission. And there is a multinational navy down there that protects the borders of our of Antarctica. So they're hiding something for sure. Is it the entrance to the hollow earth? Is it the dome around the flat earth? But see, there is a big portion of flat earth people who say that it's not a dome, but rather we're being lied to because there is a small portion of the earth or land that we live on, but outside of this rim, there is others. And there's, you know, our brothers and sisters are on the other side and there's more civilizations out there.
Right. I think that's very possible. I mean, look what Admiral Byrd had to say, you know, and he was a pretty legitimate guy, and his material was released by a close relative, you know, after he died. And I got, you know, what's very interesting to me is, do you realize that no one has ever, as far as I can tell, and this comes from a MUFON director, no one has ever interviewed anyone from Operation High Jump. And I thought that was fascinating, but I'll tell you what, there is a conference of survivors of Operation High Jump down in Charleston this coming winter. And I tell you, I wouldn't mind going down there and seeing what some of these guys have to say. They have a, I believe they have a, it's either an annual meeting where they all get together and you know, tell stories and talk about the old days, or it's you know, biannual. I don't know how often they've had a few of them so far, but these guys are getting up there. I mean, they're all over 80, I think. Gotta be. And but there's several of them left, and somebody's got to get down there and interview these guys before it's too late.
Well, for people that don't know, Operation High Jump was one of Admiral Byrd's, I think it was his last operation around 1950, where he went down to the South Pole. He went to the North Pole first and didn't really find anything, but then he went to the South Pole several times and came back and did an interview where he said, oh, we found a vast amount of resources down there, coal, for instance, that could take care of the world for hundreds and hundreds of years and unlimited and abundant resources. And right after that, they shut down Antarctica. Not only did they do the Antarctic Treaty, but check this out, Chris. Right after Operation High Jump, they did an operation called Operation Fishbowl. Operation Fishbowl was high altitude nuclear weapons testing. Now, Mark Sargent, in his videos, Flat Earth Clues, points to Operation Fishbowl as them trying to find the barriers of this dome. They found the dome, and now they're detonating nuclear weapons up there to see if they can crack the dome or do whatever they can with the dome. But it's very strange that they would call this Operation Fishbowl just a few years after the Antarctic Treaty and after Operation High Jump.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's kind of telling, right?
I would say so, yes.
And now, look, I mean, we're obviously being lied to on so many levels. And there's just so much BS out there in terms of the lessons, the history lessons that kids are being taught. I mean, and it's just none of it. I mean, it's so much of it is just easily debunkable. Things that are considered, you know, standards in university level, you know, history are being rammed down people's throats, and it's just utter BS.
It really is. It really is. And this is where a lot of these people are coming from, that all of this is pseudoscience, that they haven't proven anything. Most things, like gravity, for instance, is nothing more than a theory, and none of it's been proven except for based on other theories. We'll be right back. Ole Domegaard will be joining us in the second and third hour of the broadcast. We're going to talk about false flags, get back down to a grounded level right here on Truth Frequency. But I want to stay outside of the box here for just a little bit longer with Chris Cowan, because I don't want to say obsessed. I don't know, Cherie. Would you call it obsessed?
I wouldn't call it obsession. I would call it an eccentric diversion that you've discovered that keeps you busy a little bit of the time whenever it's in the middle of the night.
The type of research that I've done into this particular topic.
Yeah.
And I hope that most of our listeners out there understand who I am and the mind that I have. I don't just jump on just anything. I entertain everything, but I don't just jump on everything. And my intuition is very strong, and my intuition tells me when something isn't right, or when I'm walking down the wrong path, or there's a piece of disinformation out there that I'm looking at. But this topic that the Earth is artificial. Let's just leave it at that. This is an artificial Earth. That it's jumping at my intuition and saying, this is the answer. This is the key right here. This is the matrix. So we understand the universe is a holographic universe. We understand that we live inside of a matrix where it's an artificial projection. And people like David Icke, for instance, have talked about changing the movie instead of yelling at the movie screen and changing the projection. And we've all come through this realm of understanding from 9/11 to the understanding of consciousness. So now, in my opinion, this is the next step. You understand that you're watching a movie. Now you're breaking down the construct of the actual movie theater which you're in, as opposed to being somewhere that's a natural setting. And maybe we have brothers and sisters out there on a planet called Earth, and maybe it's out there somewhere, and maybe it is a globe, maybe it is a sphere, but where we're at right now is not our natural habitat. But fascinating topic. All they have to do, in my opinion, is just take a damn photo of the Earth. That's it. And controversy's over. That's it. Just take a photo of the Earth in 2015 where you have fifth grade students sending up balloons with GoPros and taking pictures of the Earth from 120,000 feet or 120 miles up, I think is what it is. 120 miles?
Yeah. I believe so. Yeah.
About 120 miles up is the highest that one of these high altitude balloons can reach. But they're sending GoPros up there and little dinosaurs and little toys, and there's like bears in space.
Legos.
And things like that. Legos. Yeah, the Lego man's up in space that a fifth grader sent up there. And NASA wants us to believe that they can take pictures of the other side of the universe with Hubble, and there are these amazing, beautiful photos, but we can't take a damn picture of our own Earth? Just show us a picture that's not a computer-generated graphic or that's not a satellite composite, because we're not buying it anymore. People are just simply not buying it. And if they want the controversy to end, then just simply take a picture. I imagine in this day and age, it wouldn't cost that much when you think about the grand budget of NASA. I mean, they're taking trillions of dollars. Now, this is what's important, is they're taking trillions of your dollars and funneling them into a space program and giving you computer-generated images as a result of the space program. Of the trillions of dollars that they're taking.
Didn't they even say we spent how many millions of dollars on this movie and y'all have front row seats or something like that? I mean, it's just.
Oh, the Mars movie.
Yeah.
I mean, just take a look at some of these videos. Like, you see the rover landing on Mars. Well, let's go back to the moon landing for a minute, because that's the first giveaway right there, where you see, okay, forget about all the conspiracy theories out there for just a moment, okay? Let's just say all the pictures are real and everything like that. At the very end, when you see the lander blasting off when we're leaving the moon, somebody, maybe it's an extraterrestrial, or maybe it's, I don't know, somebody sitting there filming it. Not only are they filming it, but they're panning up as the lander is leaving the moon. Who filmed that? Okay? Just take a look at that footage and say, who the heck filmed that? And that's where the deception starts, in my opinion, because you realize, oh my God, there's no possible way that anybody filmed that. That's got to be fake. And then you start to look at all of these computer generated images and you go, oh my God, you know. Okay, for instance, there's a picture of the satellite Cassini going right past Jupiter, or one of the moons of Jupiter. And it's this beautiful picture of Cassini going by and taking photos, the first photos of Jupiter. Well, who's taking the pictures of Cassini? Did they send a camera behind Cassini to take these pictures? No, absolutely not. These are computer-generated images that they're sending you and passing them off as real images, which is deplorable, because we're not paying them to give us computer-generated images. We're paying them to give us true representations and true images of our universe and the cosmos and everything beyond. Mm-hmm. But the moon is something that I've always felt is strange in this whole scope of things. And David Icke talked about this, the moon matrix. There's a lot of ancient tales of the moon. Chris was on with us before talking about the moon and how it, some cultures don't report a moon, and other cultures say that the moon appeared here at one particular point in time, and it was put here as an artificial construct. Others would say that the moon is more like an observation platform, and what we're seeing on the moon is actually a projection. Like you would be projecting a projector onto a screen to cover up what's actually on the moon. Who knows? But when you start to think, well, maybe the moon isn't, it is an artificial construct and it's not really what we've been told it is, then it starts to open up all these different ideas. I don't mean to rant, but Chris, please take us away.
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of strange things. We've talked about the moon. We've talked about the interesting squared circle relationship between the moon and the Earth, and how it's to an accuracy, the squared circle relationship with the moon and the Earth is down to an accuracy of 1/25,000th. So meaning that it's less than a mile, and that's impossible. I mean, that's without some sort of intelligent designer or something. And I tell you, I've been looking at the moon a lot lately with my telescope. I was out a couple nights ago. I was out, I guess it was last week, when the moon was full, or over the weekend, I can't remember. But look, man, you guys have to go, whoever's listening, you have to go buy a telescope. Because in my first couple shots of the moon, I can see structures on the moon right now. I have a couple shots I'm going to send you, Chris, after the show, too. That these are obvious structures. There's circles, there's parallel lines, there's what look to be like tracks. And it's as plain as day. It's not that difficult to see. And people take for granted too much. They've created these agencies like NASA so that you don't have to look up anymore. They don't want you to look up because all you have to do is go to NASA. So people stopped looking up. You understand? Now, I think that's the main function that NASA serves, is so that people don't look up anymore. They don't look at your telescopes. They don't question anything. Why should we do that when we have, multi-billion-dollar facilities at NASA to do it for us? Well, there you go. You got everybody to stop looking up. And now they're just looking ahead at the cubicle that they're working in.
Not only that, NASA, it's worth mentioning that NASA was created through Operation Paperclip, which was bringing all of the Nazi scientists over from World War II. And that was the foundation of NASA. So you're telling me that NASA, who's made up of a bunch of Nazis, wouldn't lie to us? You believe that? Right. You believe that Nazis wouldn't lie to you?
They don't have to be Nazis. They don't have to be Nazis. You know what I mean? It could be anybody. I mean, if anybody in power is going to lie. Anybody who gains that kind of power. Do you realize the vacuum that they feel when they lose that power? It's like dying to these people. You know, they have the same fear of death that they have of losing power. And I think that, it goes back to the old saying that power corrupts, absolutely, And so I think what you have is a bunch of genius minds who are attempting to rule the world via deception. And if you look back to the Illuminati papers that were found when the carrier got struck by lightning, in, what was it? I think it was 1776 or somewhere around that when they discovered that the Illuminati existed. They said their idea, and it was a quote, was to rule through the use of make believe. Okay, and so there's really no ends to that, and it works, And the first idea is to get control of the media. Okay, so you can tell your story on a grand scale, and that becomes the automatic source of truth. So setting up of the major media and its, systems like NASA and these other informational entities where you go to get your information. You're no longer active like you would be in the ancient world, where you're actively looking in the sky and actively taking note of your surroundings. And so the more that you can get your mind off of that, the better off they are.
Absolutely, Chris. Stick around with us one more segment, please. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got Ole Damigran coming up in the second and third hour of the broadcast. And Chris, I think you're 100% spot on. The exploration of space has been militarized, and it's not privatized. It's all government. And they've created such a monopoly on it that nobody even dares try to go explore space. And so therefore, having the monopoly on the space programs also has a monopoly on whatever knowledge comes out of there, whether real or fake. Think about that. We'll be right back. Final segment with Chris Cowan coming up right here on Truth Frequency.
You are now tuned into the Truth Frequency.
We are TFR. TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
The Truth called being in the zone. It's called, you know, being lucky. It's called having everything go your way.
When you deal with computers, you deal with ones and zeros. And the only way that you can make a computer more powerful is to expand the consciousness of the computer.
Well, it's something bigger than ourselves. And that's got to be said.
Broadcasting worldwide from an undisclosed location high up on the Rocky Mountains, here are your hosts, Chris and Cherie Gia.
Welcome back, hour number two, right here on True Frequency. It is May 15, 2015. Ole Damegard will be joining us here in just a few moments, but we have Chris Cowan on the line with us. We're talking about all of the craziness out there. The moon, for instance, is it real? Is it not real? Is it a projection? Is the sky an LED? What is going on here, and why are so many people starting to see all of this? Is it that we're all just stupid? Are we all just so stupid that we would believe that the moon is fake and the earth is flat? I mean, really. I can't believe that, because the flat earth theory, for instance, in my opinion, most people are going to ridicule it, including myself. I did the first million times. It wasn't until the million and first when I started looking into it and I started watching Flat Earth Clues that I said, I'm going to watch this with an open mind. So it took a level of intelligence and research to go down that road and then come to that conclusion based on a lot of the information that was out there and an extensive amount of research. It's not just something like, oh, hey, yeah, let's jump on this theory here because it sounds cool. So I don't believe that people who go down this road are gullible, as most people would say they are. I would say that it's the opposite. You've either looked into the flat earth material and realized, oh my God, there's something to this, or you haven't looked into it and you ridicule it. But I don't think that there's anybody out there who's actually looked into it extensively, weeded out the disinfo, because there is a lot of disinfo, but looked into it while weeding out the disinfo and then come to the conclusion that, no, this is just a bunch of hokey, malarkey, hogwash, whatever you want to call it. That's just my analysis on the situation. But Chris, your thoughts?
Well, I think you got to be careful. Like I said, I think it's a mistake to call it the flat earth theory. I think if you're going to look into it, into the idea that we are somehow boxed in and made less aware of where we actually are, there should be a better name for it. But it's going to be too easy to politically assassinate and turn people away. I think what you have to do with that theory is you've got to be the debunker first, and you've got to look at all the, like, hey, are there people who've flown around the world? Sure, around the world. And that's why you have to take for the earth to be flat. I wouldn't know how that would happen, because there's pilots, thousands and thousands of pilots have flown around the earth.
Well, that's what they say. That's what they say. But I've never done it myself. I don't know anybody who has firsthand, and people that have flown.
I do. I've worked in the air wing in the Marine Corps. But that doesn't mean, look, we know that there's hush hush around Antarctica. Okay, we know that we're not allowed to look at the polar orbiter. Why? You know, is the Earth really flat, or is it the hollow Earth? You know what I mean? Or is it is the Earth much larger than we've been told? Or,
right.
Or are we being told that the area that we occupy is the whole Earth, when it really is only, say, you know, a quarter of the Earth? Not saying that the Earth is that much bigger. It's just that we're being told that where we are, maybe that's why they're screaming about population. Because the more people on the Earth, at least in that cordoned off area of the Earth, if they start expanding, then it becomes a problem at a certain point, right?
Right, right.
I mean, if people start trying to figure out how to live in Antarctica, or how, you know, we need more resources, all of a sudden, whoa, these people are getting out of hand here. You know what I mean? And that could be the reason that they're so concerned about the population. I don't know, man. I think it's, like I said, there are ways to look at that theory, and you have to come at it from all angles. You have to come at it to try to debunk it first and tear away the things that don't make sense and take out the things that do make sense. And that's a tedious process, man. That's something that we all did when we were, you know, looking at 9/11, looking at the Oklahoma City bombing, looking at any of the false flags around the world. You know, it's kind of the way they operate. Even World War II. You look at World War II. World War II was a managed event. You know what I mean? On all sides.
Right.
It was an organic war. I mean, come on. Like, you think the Swiss, would Hitler pull up his war machine to the Switzerland and say, oh, you guys are neutral, no problem. Of course, that's where all the banks are, you know?
Of course.
Right? And, do you really think that the English decoded Enigma? Come on.
Well, some theories say that Earth is a disc and it's moving upwards, and that's what causes gravity. I think that is BS. That's a piece of disinformation out there. Others say that things like the moon, for instance, are discs that are just facing us. I think that's a piece of disinformation as well. That's something that I don't go along with. But when you think about it from an artificial controlled atmosphere or construct, I think that holds a lot of weight to it. Or maybe we've been quarantined off for several different reasons. Number one, maybe our planet was destroyed and we were put here to preserve the human species. Or maybe the human species is so dangerous to themselves, to their planet, to everybody. I mean, when you think about it, humans are pretty evil and they're scum.
That's a good one. I like that. That's highly probable.
Well, they are. I mean, as a whole, humanity is scum and it's very evil. Now, there's good individuals, and the individuals are achieving higher consciousness, and as they achieve higher consciousness, then they separate themselves from the rest of humanity, which does nothing but destroy. If we can get all of humanity up to that next level, then maybe we can escape this dome and rejoin the rest of existence out there.
Well, how about this, Chris? I've often thought that the Earth could be a place for the corruption of souls. In other words, we look at it, and some religions talk about we are born with sin, and that would be our DNA, and the fact that we are animals. We're kind of put on this plane where Earth exists, and we have DNA that causes us to lust and desire and have anger and feelings that are fairly, low energy, low frequency feelings that corrupt the soul throughout a lifetime. And then once the soul is corrupted, you can be harvested into a lower dimension. And sometimes I feel like that's what the Earth is, because it's just you're fighting your body all the time. You're fighting pains, and not only the pains and aches and allergies and everything else that you have to deal with all the time. There's feelings of inadequacy, feelings of want and desire, and all the things that we've been told are sin. And it seems to be inherent here on Earth, and God knows, you go to work every day, you suffer. Everybody here is suffering. And we learn how to cope with our suffering. Sure, people say, yeah, I love my job. I love my job making cogs at a factory. It's great, and they're convinced that this is somehow how they're supposed to live. But I often think that it's a place that souls are sent or harvested somehow, placed here to be processed in order to become maybe a food source, even to a lower dimension, or a source of energy, or God knows what.
Well, Chris, that's exactly what Cherie said earlier. We were talking about this very topic, and she said, well, maybe we've been put here as a food source for energies that feed on, or entities that feed on negative energies. And that's why this plane or this space is filled with hate and chaos and death and destruction and war and suffering, because they feed on that negativity.
Yeah, it also seems to be induced. I mean, if you watch television, in the 70s, I would say, I grew up as a kid, there wasn't nearly the racial problems that there are now. You have the news constantly pumping race down everyone's throat. It's like, come on, get each other. We ain't getting each other. Get at it, They're like doing everything they can to create racial strife and hatred and religious hatred and strife. They even did it in places like Ireland, where everybody looks the same. Everybody eats the same damn food. Everybody plays the same games. They all have the same names, except one's a Catholic and one's a Protestant, right? So, and they did the Tutsis in Africa when they had resources down that the beers wanted. They got two people who are almost identical, and then they highlighted all the differences, just the tiny little differences in those people, and used them to kill each other. And
spot on.
It seems like all the strife in this world is spawned by the banks and the media.
Spot on. Chris, thank you so much for your time.
I hate
to cut you out, but we've got a hard break coming up. Ole Damgaard coming up, ladies and gentlemen. Chris, thank you again. Love you, brother, as always. Talk to you soon. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
from the city above the clouds. This is Truth Frequency Radio with Chris and Cherie Geo. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Let's reground ourselves for the remainder of the broadcast, second and third hour coming your way. There is a lot going on here in the United States and all over the globe. As a matter of fact, the police state is getting absolutely out of hand. I've experienced it firsthand myself. Luckily, I know how to navigate in and out of these situations, but others aren't so lucky, and others have stepped into realms that go way beyond stepping on constitutional rights and right out of something from George Orwell or the Dark Ages, where people are being taken into secret prisons, tortured, raped, and then released or charged with a crime that they didn't even commit just for the sake of pushing them through the criminal system. To create an unnecessary burden, a financial burden, or whatever. And it's happening to not only grown men and women, but also to children as well. As I covered in the last hour, an eighth grader was sent to jail for 6 days for throwing Skittles on the bus. I mean, we've reached realms of ridiculousness. And there's some things that are happening. It started off like a frog in water. You know, they turned up the heat a little bit. And as they were turning the heat up, some of it was understandable. I mean, I don't even want to say understandable, but the way that they introduced it, the tyranny began in the early 2000s to fight against Al-Qaeda. And there was the big Al-Qaeda threat. And so they started to tear down constitutional rights for the sake of security to get any terrorists, because everybody was so shocked by from 9/11. And then that turned into using the Patriot Act to raid strip clubs, for instance, or to raid drug dealers. And people said, I don't care about strip clubs. I don't care about drug dealers. Then they started attacking the children. They started charging children with child pornography for taking photos of themselves. A young girl, for instance, would take a photo of her breasts, 14, 15 years old, send it to her boyfriend, who's also a minor. He gets charged with possession of child pornography. She gets charged with manufacturing child pornography. And then it just started to creep in like that. And then people step back and went, well, you know, it's child pornography. Let's not get involved in that. And now it's gotten to the point where children are spending 6 days in jail for throwing Skittles on the bus. You see how the totalitarian tiptoe happened, and now it's to a point to where nobody really knows what to do about it. People are being taken away to secret prisons. But the catalyst for this type of tyranny is, of course, the false flags. You have a problem, reaction, solution scenario where you want to bring in a certain agenda, so you create a problem to get people begging for a reaction to that problem. 9/11, for instance. They commit 9/11. People react by saying, we've got to do something, we've got to do something. And they say, okay, we'll tighten up security. Okay, we'll start patting everybody down at the airport. Oh, by the way, let's go ahead and install these naked body scanners while we're at it. And now everybody gets felt up, has naked pictures of them taken at the airport, and they have to take their shoes off and all kinds of other ridiculousness here in the United States. And then it becomes the norm. They install cameras in schools, for instance. I remember in school, that was when they first started installing the cameras, and they first started putting one police officer at the front of the school. Now there's a ton of police officers. I mean, it's like a prison, and you've got cameras all over the place. And what has the police state done? Like I said, lock these kids up 6 days for throwing Skittles. I mean, absolute ridiculousness. But it all started to tiptoe, and now here we are 30 years later, 20 years later, 15 years later, however long that it's been since you first realized this problem. And it is just tremendous, tremendous. So we have to go back to the very beginning. We have to break down these false flags. And the best person to do that is Ole Damigrad. He is the author of several books that are available on lightonconspiracies.com. He's got a great biography out there. And one of his books that we actually have up on our website, if you just want to go to our website, scroll down to the bottom, you'll see a link for coup d'etat in slow motion. Click on that. It'll take you right over to Olay's website where you can get a lot more information. But he's broken down pretty much every false flag event out there, from 9/11, which in my opinion was one of the biggest ones, to even the smaller ones, like small shootings that only have a couple of victims in there, but you can tell it was a contrived situation. Even Sandy Hoax, where the FBI themselves report zero murders in the Newtown area during the year of Sandy Hoax, when supposedly, what was it, 19 or 20 kids were supposedly murdered at that time. So you can see that they don't really cover their tracks very well, but there is something very sinister going on. And the problem and the reaction is ultimately bringing in the solution, which is a completely controlled police state. I mean, really, it's gotten to the point where I don't even want to go to the city anymore because it's so bad. Because I understand my constitutional rights. I understand who I am. And I can get out of the majority of police encounters out there by knowing my Supreme Court rulings, by knowing my constitutional rights, by knowing the Constitution, et cetera, and being able to not only talk the talk, but also walk the walk as well when I encounter one of these jackboot thugs. But these jackboot thugs are lawless. And when you're dealing with lawless, it doesn't matter how much law you know. It doesn't matter how many of your rights you know. There's going to be a time when, just as we see almost on a daily basis, one of those jackboot thugs way oversteps and puts a bullet in you or tases you and you wind up in the hospital and your heart stops as a result. We see it time and time again. The police departments always reply with, well, the officer was following policy, meaning that it's their policy to kill you indiscriminately. And the result, paid vacation for the police. It's absolutely ridiculous. They've turned into criminals. They are thugs. There's nothing, no other way that I can describe them. It's sad. If you listen to the broadcast from the very beginning back in 2009, you'll hear me go, there's got to be some good police officers out there. There's some good ones and there's some bad ones. Now, I can't say that there's any good ones anymore. I just can't say it. And it's really a shame. We've got to take back our sovereignty. Ole, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing absolutely great, thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much for joining us. It's been a while since we've had you on the show. Tell us a little bit about what you've been up to.
Well, like you say, there's so many false flags going on, so it's been absolutely crazy. I've been, I woke up, actually the year was 1984, I think, so that's a very symbolic year when we talk about these things. And at that point, I had absolutely no idea what I was getting myself into, because once again, just like you said, this has been carried out in such a tiptoeing ways, you know, like so many steps have been taken forward that we have not, most people have not seen that they're actually connected. They see separate events, they see separate methods they use and so on, but very few people are able to connect them and see, oh my God, the magnitude of the agenda behind the whole thing has just been so big that most people have not been able to cope or take it in, and they've just said, no, you're just one of these crazy conspiracy theorists and you can't be right. I mean, it's just too much. But unfortunately, here we are, many, it's only, for me, it's like 30 years later, and whatever we feared has happened. I mean, what we're living in what George Orwell described in 1984, we're living that now. And it's just a very challenging time, to say the least. But I think what you are aiming at, to expose the false flag, that is extremely important, because that is one of their main tools in how to push their very brutal agenda on us. Because without the boogeyman, they would never get away with it.
It really is. I mean, it's easy to see the agenda. Back in 2011, we saw them do Operation Mountain Guardian, which was a bunch of drills in the Denver area about school shootings and shootings in movie theaters. And I said in May of 2011, we're going to start seeing all of these shootings. No, actually, May of 2012. We're going to start seeing all of these shootings throughout the remainder of the year. And sure enough, that's exactly what we saw. We'll be right back.
Soul has no limitation.
Yeah.
Did you know? Truth Frequency Radio is 100% listener supported. Sign up for the VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup and show your support. Or make a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate. And now, welcome back to the Truth Frequency with Chris and Cherie Geo.
As I was saying during the, before the break, back in May of 2012, I predicted on the show that we would see school shootings and shootings in movie theaters because I was able to see their documents and see what they were planning for. And sure enough, between 2012 and right into 2014, it was one shooting after another, after another, after another, almost on a weekly basis, as I had predicted. And like I said, it's because I was able to see what they were planning for. And so that's just one of the earmarks of a false flag. When you see that they're running drills on a certain scenario, then the scenario all of a sudden happens. The Amtrak situation that just happened where the train was derailed, the FBI actually put out a document stating that there were some tools that were devices. That's the term that they used. There were some devices that were stolen, and so there's a threat of train derailment. It's actually a device that goes onto the track that can actually derail the train. I don't know what the device is actually used for, but once put onto the train track, it can derail that train. They put this out just a few days before this Amtrak situation happened. So they had already been preparing their people for this particular scenario. Ole, have you looked into this latest Amtrak situation?
I'm sorry, Chris, I am not. It's just just like you say, there's so many of these false flags going on now. I've got some CIA sources and they're talking about the scare of the week. I think, you know, they're speeding it up, so it's so hard to keep track of everything. So, no, I am not.
It's okay. There's a bunch of things out there that I haven't had a chance to investigate either, because like you said, it's happening so frequently that you really can't look at every single one of these scenarios. What's the latest scenario that you've looked into?
Well, the latest ones that I really focused on was the Charlie Hebdo and then Copenhagen one. And then that leading into the Texas shooting and so on. But I tell you, I've been looking into so many of these over the years, and I'm starting to believe that what we're seeing is not a lot of separate events. They're all connected, not just by their agenda, but I truly believe that what we're seeing is like a, what would you call it? Like a tour of terror, like a rock group that is on a global tour. I believe that what we're seeing, it like when you see these people, the SWAT teams, the background actors or extras and so on, there will be the same people in Ottawa as in Sydney, as in Paris, as in Copenhagen, as in Texas, and so on. Maybe not Texas, but I believe that what we're seeing is like a small group of like a theater group, with backed up with marketing agencies, producers, directors, everything, flown around in military planes from army bases to NATO bases, from country to country to country, because they need to keep it to as small group as possible, a small, tight, little, very limited group where they can control all parameters, where they can control whistleblowers and leakage and so on, and by just threatening a few or, you know, well, it's not so difficult to keep people quiet. I've spoken to Chip Tatum. He's a CIA whistleblower who's also in his career. He's the closest to a living James Bond you can get. Who's been working with all the presidents from Nixon and onwards, and been the commander of George Bush Sr.'s private hit team Pegasus. What he says is that when they, what they need is, like I said, as small a group as possible, so that they can check that no information leaks out there. Also, so they don't have to retrain them all the time. They can use the same people again and again and again. So when I've suggested that what we're actually seeing are the same people running around in the different countries doing exactly the same scenario, he said that's not only possible, it's plausible. And this is from somebody who's been working with it. And I asked him, how do you keep them quiet? Why are there no people coming forward? And he said it's very simple. It's very simple. We've got unlimited access to big money, or he had used to have to when he was working with this. He said you pay people a lot. The lots of people will do anything for money. They even feel proud. You also got parts of the mind control where you can compartmentalize personality so that they can't even remember what they've been involved in. But he said, also, if somebody starts leaking or starts doubting what they're doing, you just beat one of them up or you threaten them. I mean, it's so easy. You threaten to kill their dog, their child, their grandmother, whatever. And if that isn't enough, then you just kill one of them. And you make very sure that the rest of the group sees it or hears about it. And so they know if they talk, they're next in line. And that's the way you do it. You keep it very clean and tight.
Wow. I've spoken to Chip a lot off air. We tried to have him on one time. And when we did, the servers over at the Genesis Communications Network were hit really hard. And the entire show was just totally chaotic. Now, a lot of shows out there will experience technical problems. And I understand as a technical person myself that technical stuff happens sometimes. And it's not the CIA or NSA or somebody attacking you. But in this particular case, I found it quite odd that they were, that the Genesis servers were having a problem right when Chip was coming on. Now, to make it even weirder, Susan Lindauer had Chip on a couple of days after that on Truth Frequency. The Truth Frequency servers were attacked at that particular time as well. So I have to say, in this one particular situation, I think there was a power that be out there who was purposefully doing this, knowing that Chip was going to get out there and expose a lot of this information.
I've done hundreds of interviews. I've had, I cannot say how much technical problems. You know, like it works fine until I start naming names, then it shuts down. And sometimes I even speak directly to the people who are doing it because, you know, when you see it, when you really look at it, the people working at the NSA or CIA or if it's the MI5 in England or in the, wherever you are, it's so stupid because they think they're doing a good thing. You know, they're being rewarded, maybe paid well and so on. But they're actually shooting themselves in the foot because the people behind the New World Order, this very, very dark agenda, they could not give a shit about these people either.
Ooh, Ole, I got to ask you to watch the language, please. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go anywhere. Ole, this Charlie Hebdo situation, what was that about? Because that seemed to bleed over here into the States, but here in the States it was treated a lot differently than it was where it actually happened. When this situation happened here in the States, of course, people got shot immediately and were killed. The gunmen were killed without any problem whatsoever. And this is why I'm so for people being armed. As a matter of fact, here in the United States, it's your duty, according to the Declaration of Independence, to keep and bear arms. It's not a right or a privilege. It's a duty that you have to your country to maintain the ability to be able to fight back, especially against tyrannical government, which is the very reason why they're trying to destroy the Second Amendment here in the United States. But it just goes to show, in an armed society, you don't have these slaughters like you do in an unarmed society. For instance, Sandy Hook, for instance, if you just want to believe that it's real for just a moment, even though we all know it's a false flag, but that's a gun-free zone. All of these shootings that happen in gun-free zones. Even the military bases are gun-free zones, and you have shootings on military bases, but you never have shootings at a shooting range. You never have shootings at an NRA meeting. You never have shootings anywhere where guns are allowed and encouraged because of this very reason. And in the situation that you do, like in Garland, for instance, people fight back, and that's just the way it is. But what is this problem-reaction-solution here that we're dealing with?
The problem-reaction solution is an old Roman template. The old Romans, I think they were the first that really fine-tuned these methods, because during all ages, all these hundreds and hundreds of years, a small elite group have from time to time, again and again and again, tried to get total control over the population. This goes for many different countries, many different empires, and so on. And the whole question have been all the time, how can a very few control the large population? This is how they came up with this idea, problem, reaction, solution. Because if you have a very threatening problem outside your country or outside your group or outside, then you can trick the population to accept so much more. Of military control and limited liberties and so on. And they've just, nowadays, they just fine-tuned it, they've updated, they digitalized these methods, but it's still the same. It's the exact same thing as the Romans used.
So of course, idea, of course. What I meant is like the specifics behind this particular action.
Okay. I think that the Charlie Hebdo one, It's very different to many of the other false flags we've seen up until then. It took a whole new dimension, and I think it is because the people involved came from a different area. I think that Israel was much more involved in this one than in the States, for instance. Because if you look at it, when it comes to mass shootings, where do they occur? More or less all of them have occurred in the States. Because that is where the weapons are, because with problem, reaction, solution, mass shooting, that's the problem, the reaction, oh my God, something needs to be done. And the solution is all the time, you have to give up your weapons. It's not that they say the solution is, let's get more psychiatrists to help these poor people that go around shooting people. No, 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 it's the weapon, especially the automatic and heavy caliber and so on. So there's very few, if any, mass shootings in Europe, for instance. So here, when it came to Charlie Hebdo, we have to go back a bit in time, because it's almost like a commercial. They need to repeat the theme again and again and again for it to go into our subconscious so that we can accept it. And in Charlie Hebdo, it was a matter of what they called an attack on free speech. There was this, is it okay if I go into details about what happened there so I can show that it was actually what was going on? Would that be okay?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, because the theme this time was that there was a newspaper in Paris called Charlie Hebdo, and they had made cartoons of the Muslim prophet Muhammad, you know, fun cartoons. At least they thought so, that attacked Islam and so on. And this really upset the two brothers in Paris to the extent that they decided, let's go on a shooting rampage and kill a lot of people and so on. Not that they were upset with thousands of Muslim children being killed in these wars that are totally unjust. No, it was the cartoon. That was the one that just made the whole thing explode. But if you go back in time, you will see it. I think it started with Salman Rushdie with the Satanic Verses. And there, on the 14th of February, the exact same date as Charlie Hebdo was carried out. No, sorry, the 14th of... I'm mixing the things up. Sorry about that. Anyway, but on the 14th of February in 19... whatever the year was, Ayatollah Khomeini put what is called a fatwa, a death sentence on Salman Rushdie, because he, in his book, The Satanic Verses, had written about the mother of Muhammad being a former prostitute and so on, and that really upset them. So that was chapter one, how if you attack Islam, then the reaction from the Muslim population in the world would be very aggressive. Then the second one was a Danish newspaper that made these exact cartoons. I think this was in 2001, and we had all of these global reactions. At least that is what media was presenting us with, that in many Muslim countries they were burning flags and they wanted to kill the people involved. Then in 2007, a Swedish cartoon artist made a very, very ugly drawing. I mean, it's only like a sketch, you know, very poor quality of what is said to be Muhammad with the body of a dog. So he was threatened, and they say that he'd had a bodyguard since 2007 in Sweden. I mean, that is not real. I mean, just imagine the amount of money having to be spent on a thing like that. Then we come to Charlie Hebdo, the exact same theme again and again and again, but this time in Paris. So I think one thing that is very important is that not to just shout false flag as soon as some so-called terrorist attack happens. But when you start looking at at these nowadays, if you break them into break them down, in you will start seeing a very clear pattern. And this is what I specialize in, trying to find out exactly what happened. Come to the crime scene with an open mind, but break it down to see what does the evidence show you. And I would like to take you just on a quick tour of the Paris thing, just to show you what actually happened there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Let's get into that here in just a moment. But I do want to say this, this whole Muslim-Islam thing that's happening, it seems like the more you oppress a group of people, even homosexuals, for instance, who are very oppressed here in the United States, they're having a fight for gay rights and doing gay pride parades because they're so oppressed. The more you oppress a person or a group, the more that group is going to lash out to try to get away from that oppression. So what we're doing is counterproductive. Now, in Islam, it doesn't say that you can't depict the Prophet Muhammad. It says that a Muslim can't depict the Prophet Muhammad. So a Muslim shouldn't be doing this. But they're attacking people because they're depicting an image of the Prophet Muhammad, for instance. I think that people should do it even more. I mean, you know, there needs to be a separation there. Like, okay, let's not oppress the Muslim people, but the Muslim people can't commit violence against other people. Because you commit violence, I don't care what in whose name you commit this violence, it's still violence. And a violent act needs to be addressed as a violent act. Likewise, free speech is free speech. It doesn't matter who is claiming that the speech is offensive. It's about defending freedom of speech, no matter what. But people just need to be respectful of one another. But I think all sides in this situation are completely and totally in the wrong, being played by puppets in order to push forward this agenda. We'll get into the Paris situation right on the other side with Ole Damigard right here on Truth Frequency.
Even if I told you, I know you won't believe. It's like I see my whole life flashing right before me.
In the third hour, I want to get into the Boston Marathon bombing, because the suspect was recently given the death penalty. And there's a lot of anomalies there to prove that this was indeed a false flag. And this death penalty sentence, which was handed down to this poor kid
just a few hours ago, actually.
Yeah, it is for sure part of the cover up. And it just goes to show you see not only victims of the actual bombing, if there were any victims, which I don't believe they were. I think most of them were crisis actors. But you also see victims like these fall guys that they put out there. It's disgusting. It's really disgusting. And this is why it's so important that we look at these false flag situations. But it's also important, too, to really put things into perspective here, especially this whole Islam situation. I don't care if you get offended, and people offend me all the time, and I don't go out on jihads against them because that's just the way it is. A lot of people call me a stupid truther, and they call me ridiculous and unintelligent, and God, who knows what else they call me, and all of you out there as well. But our group of people, the ones that think outside of the box, are constantly ridiculed. But to me, if somebody's ridiculing me or a group's ridiculing me, then I just ignore that group, or I just ignore that person, or I distance myself and say, well, that's your ignorance. So I don't understand how we allow a group of people like Islam, for instance, or Muslims to try to dictate policy here. I've been reading stories, and some of them can be disinformation because I have read a lot of disinformation out there. For instance, there's a picture of all of these girls chained up wearing black. And what they're doing is celebrating the day of Ashura, which is the day of martyrs. And they're doing something like a passion play, which in Christianity, a passion play would be where they reenact the resurrection and crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And people take this photo and say, Muslim girls are being led off to as slaves to meet their new husbands. It's complete and total propaganda. But that creates the hate against Islam. And then the Muslim people are oppressed. For instance, there was some woman on a subway who was going off on a Muslim couple because just for the simple fact that they were Muslim. They were just sitting there on the subway doing absolutely nothing. And then another woman jumped up and stood up for the Muslims, the two Muslim people, because they were literally sitting there doing nothing. But the hate has been driven in them so badly. I was at the airport a few months ago, and I saw this 20, 21-year-old Muslim girl with two little babies, little beady babies that she was holding, getting completely, you know, special search by TSA. And I went up to the TSA and I said, what you're doing is wrong, because you're profiling these people just because they're Muslim, just because they're a different color or a different religion. And those babies right there, this is the future of America. This is part of the future of America. And you're teaching them that this is acceptable in the United States of America. You are a disgrace to your country. You're this and that and blah, 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 blah. And the TSA lady just looked at me like, I can't believe you just said that to me. She actually told me, I'm going to ignore that. But that Muslim woman looked at me and was like, wow, you know, somebody actually understands what's going on. So you have to see things from both sides of the coin. But then again, you can't come to the United States and say that freedom of speech is offensive to you, so you're going to commit violence. It doesn't work that way. But I think that 99% of the Muslim people are decent people, just like 99% of the Christians out there are decent people. To the biggest extent but of decent person you can be when you follow a book that tells you that it's okay for God to kill the majority of the world.
Well, but
that's a whole debate for another time. But you get what I'm saying. Most of these people, they live as decent people. But then you have that small percentage who are either brainwashed into doing it or maybe even paid into following a certain type of agenda. And they create the catalyst for the hate, which constantly bounces back and forth and back and forth.
What really gets me is this support for Saudi Arabia, who commits far more egregious acts of terror against its own people and against other nations, including our own on 9/11. And they just, our own government loves Saudi Arabia.
You can't talk about Saudi Arabia because they provide our oil for us.
Right, of course, so, just like China provides our Walmart stuff. But
exactly. They can do no harm.
Well, no, I mean,
or they can do no wrong.
I really just wish they would address this subject, the subject of Saudi Arabia. They're crucifying people over there.
I know. They're crucifying people. They're chopping women's hands off.
They're cutting people's heads off and then putting them on spikes for 3 days.
Right, right. So when you really look at it from the broad perspective, it's really not an American versus Muslim problem.
No.
It's an American versus countries we want to invade problem.
Right.
That's it. Because the Taliban, for instance, who we created – back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. The Taliban is the big problem, and they're the evil Muslims that are going to come get you. But the Muslims in Saudi Arabia, oh, they're just fine when they crucify a gay person for being gay.
But ISIS that we created on our own soil, oh, you know, that's something that everybody just needs to, you know, be all in up in a ruckus about.
This is why I say we have to get rid of religion. I know a lot of people don't like to hear that, and it's not a very popular view, and it's not going to win me very many listeners. But really, when it comes down to it, just read these books. A kid was just recently, they made a big deal because a fifth grader wasn't allowed to read the Bible in school. And they were making this big fuss about it. And I said, wait a minute. When you read the Bible, it's got rape, masturbation, slavery, war, genocide, infanticide, and torture and murder. Even the main character was tortured and then crucified. Okay? This isn't appropriate reading material for a fifth grader. Nobody saw it like that. Everybody said, oh, I can't believe they're not letting him read the Bible. Well, if he was reading the Saw novels, for instance, which I know they don't have any novels, but I'm just using that as a metaphor here.
He's reading the screenplay.
Yeah, if he was reading the screenplay of Saw, I don't think that would be acceptable, and I don't think that anybody would be standing up for that and saying, yeah, she has a right to read that in fifth grade. So you have to start seeing things in perspective here. If you can't read a book about torture and death and chaos, then you can't read the Bible in school. But this is my point. My point is, and I'm sorry, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. But when you have these books that tell you it's okay to do this to other people because it's God's will, then that's very dangerous to society as a whole. And it creates these kind of problems. And it allows the powers that be to open the doors for more tyrannical legislation based on the actions of a few very deluded individuals. Ole, I didn't mean to rant for the entire segment, but please take us away.
No, I think though that when you come to a crime scene, it is extremely important to see not the official version, which we're being pumped with nowadays, Muslims, Muslims, Muslims being terrorists, but really look into, is it true what the official story, or is there a different agenda behind it? Because there's a massive difference in if these are Muslim people going totally crazy, going around shooting people, or if it's a totally staged event with mercenaries of almost like a film set being carried out in front of our eyes for us to react so that we believe that they're Muslim, so that we will then accept the solution we're being provided by the people behind this operation. So before I go into who to blame, I really start looking into the details to see was it really happening or what actually took place. And for many years, I was digging very deep into the assassination of Olof Palme in Sweden. It came to an extent where two of my friends were murdered because we found out stuff that was not, it was getting too close. I was threatened, so I left. I had to leave Sweden. I moved to Spain. And when we started from scratch here in Spain, one of the jobs I got was as an extra on film sets because there was a film company down here. So I did a lot of background acting. I mean, I was one of these people walking in the background, sitting in the background, talking, you know, just being in the background. And this has really helped me when it comes to false flags, because I've spent so many hundreds of hours sitting, doing absolutely nothing, being bored, just looking and trying to learn as much as possible film industry, how they set these things up, because I wanted a job with this company. But instead, these hours have given me the ability to look on these false flags and see if they're carried out the same way, because many of them are. It is actually like a film set. Nothing really happens. It's a film set, and then we're being pumped the whole thing out through media saying, oh my God, oh my God, we need a solution.
You're absolutely